We take a look at the double parshios of Behar and Bechukosai, we immediately note that while Behar deals with, as we've dealt with in the past years, the laws of Shemitah and other interpersonal laws of Berotim L'Chaveiro, we note that Bechukosai has an entirely different theme. And our rabbis point out that Bechukosai was ordained by Ezra of Sofer to always be read 2 weeks before Shavuos, because Bechukosai contains within it the parsha of the brachos and the klolos, the blessings and the curses, which are important for us to have this mindset before entering into that major holiday of Shavuos and our ultimate connection and dedication to Hashem that we'll, Mirza Hashem, talk about more so today. When we begin looking at the beginning of Parsha Bechukosai, we know in Source 1, if you will follow my decrees, in Bechukotai Telechu, and observe my commandments and perform them, then I will provide your rains in their time, and your land will give it produce, and the tree of its fields will give its fruit, and your threshing will last until the vintage. I will provide peace in the land. I will cause wild beasts to withdraw from the land. We have an idyllic picture of tremendous blessings God will give us. You will eat very old grain and remove the old to make way for the new, and continuing in Source 2, like the ultimate, if I will place my sanctuary among you, and my spirit will not reject you. I will walk among you, I will be God unto you, and you will be a people unto me. I am Hashem your God, who took you out of Egypt, etc. And then the parsha continues, and if you don't listen, and has terrible curses that will ensue. The one major question that we need to ask, which most of the Mefarshim immediately on this section ask, and it's not unique just to this section, it's true of other sections in the Chumash as well, and that's the question which is articulated in Rav Reis' Sefer Lahavim Lahaskil. He notes that one of the 13 Ikrim in Source 4, the 13 fundamentals of faith, is Shabar Yitzbarach Shmo Gomel Tov, that Hashem Baruch Hu rewards those who do His will and their consequences if we don't do God's will. Having said this, we also are very well aware that the Scharan Shel Mitzvot, that the ultimate reward for mitzvot, are not in this world. We know that God is loyal to repay us in the ultimate world for the mitzvot we've done. So the question we need to ask ourselves is the following. If hayom lasotam ulamachar lolam habal b'tol scharam, if this world is to perform the mitzvot and the next world to receive the reward, im kein madua kol avtachot sheb'parshat bechukotai, kamo gam parshat acherot, einan chorgot mitchum haolam hazeh, if this world is not the world of reward, but this world is a world of toil to get reward in the next world, then how do I understand the promises of reward in our parsha, as well as we have in the parsha Kriyat Shema we say every day, where it seems that the reward is not spiritual reward, it's very much physical reward. It's very much reward in this world. Rain in its right time, and there'll be no wild beasts, and you'll chase your enemy, and you'll have plenty of food. How are we to understand, when the Chumash tells us about all this reward, how are we to understand this, and it seems contingent, that mitzvotav tishmaru, keeping God's mitzvot, so it seems like there is a reward in this world. How are we to reconcile this idea that we believe that reward is in the world to come? What is, and how are we to understand the reward that's found in our parsha? That's question number one. Question number two, obviously, is the connection, as we noted, before Shavuos and what we are to learn from it. Question number three is to try to understand a little bit more deeply, in source number two, what it means when Hashem said, I will place my sanctuary among you, and my spirit will not reject you, and I will walk among you. What does this concept mean? So as Rashi notes in source number three, putting my sanctuary as a reference to the Beit HaMikdash, Veloti gal nafshi, God says, I will not reject you. And the imagery that Rashi uses is like a pot, which whether the pot absorbs material or not, or if it's unable to, there's a plita, there's an expunging going on that it releases what he cannot be able to absorb into the pot. But God said, I'm not going to expunge. I'm going to have this closeness with you. That imagery needs to be understood. V'talachti v'tochechem, Rashi understands that etayel imachem v'gan eden, ke'achad mikem, I will walk with you in Gan Eden like one of you, which is also a very bizarre type of, and we're not even going to even touch into the depth of this, Rashi, as it'll be like normal, my presence among you. We need to understand this closeness, this imagery of God's closeness to us, as marked in this parasha as well. So we almost see that there are two types of relationship going on here. There will be a reward, however we want to understand reward, of the physical bounty in this world, as well as this spiritual closeness between God's spirit and us. The medium in which I'd like to try to understand our original question, this world is not a world of reward, that's saved for the next world. I'd like to do it by raising our fourth question, and this will be the benchmark by which we will measure both answers, and that is the opening medrash on this week's parsha also needs to be understood. The opening words of this parsha, Mechukosai Teilechu, the medrash describes an intriguing conversation that David HaMelech has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a very famous one, wherein he says, Bechol Yom Vayom, source number 5, Hayiti Mechashev Ve'omer. Every day David HaMelech says, I would think and say to myself, I want to go to such and such place, and I want to visit so and so. But my feet always led me to the shuls, to the house of study. So this medrash obviously requires explanation. Superficially, it seems to suggest that David HaMelech was always intending to go somewhere and never reached at his destination. That cannot be true. Is it feasible that a king made plans on state matters which always misfired? And again, what is the connection between if you walk in my ways, and David HaMelech saying, wherever I decided to go, I somehow landed up in the base medrash, I somehow landed up in the study hall. Clearly, on a superficial level, we're all thinking, the language of Teilechu, of walking, and David HaMelech speaks about wherever he walks. Granted, but that's a very superficial level, and it has to be understood much deeper. And obviously, all of these questions have a tremendous amount of different ways of looking at them, and obviously different ramifications. We're going to focus then on two approaches of Mirtz Hashem today, and hopefully what we can gain for our lives. Approach number one is based on Rav Reis' Sefer Meirosh Sugi. He says, "B'petach parashat b'chukotai, the Torah tells us this perfect, idyllic world where everything lives beharmonia nifla'a, in tremendous harmony. And the Torah clearly tells us that there is an interrelationship with the arrow is in six. There's a totza'a yeshira. There's a specific cause and effect between our behavior and the world around us. Im b'nei ha'adam ha'chayim et chayeyim b'tzura na'ota. When we live our worlds in a correct manner, gan sidrei breshit omim lumatam v'otam matpeya, the world around us responds in a similar way. And that's what we have to understand. When we're talking about that the rain will give off its fruit and the wild animals won't disturb you, and all of these blessings, says Meirosh Sharim in this one approach in the Farshim, this is not a reward. This is telling you how, in the idyllic sense, how God envisioned a world of perfect balance, wherein we keep God's commandments, and we'll discuss this in Mirtz Hashem now in further depth. But when we do so, the world responds by being in perfect balance and being in perfect sync as well. When we heed God's voice, so then the natural world responds and gives forth its blessing. And it's interesting, the Ramban notes at the beginning of our parsha, at the end of 6, that this section of the brachos and klolos is one of a national, one of a communal blessing, not on an individual level. And Rabban notes this never happened. This idyllic scene, even the times of David HaMelech, never came to fruition. This is really a vision of the future time. Having said this, let's try to understand what this vision is about. Let's try to understand what at least we should try to aim for in our lives. What is this harmony about? What is this balance about? So to be able to appreciate it a bit more, Rav Reitz points out in source number 8 that the key of this balance is found in the opening phrase, really in the name of the parasha, the Chukosai. In the Chukosai Teilechu. Now normally we understand Chukim as being laws that we don't understand the reason for them. They're beyond our understanding. In this case, he says, Ein kol safek shatorah, we're not here dealing only with the specific laws that we don't understand, but rather it encompasses the entire rubric of our avodas Hashem, both mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, man, laws between man and man, and laws between man and God. Our job is to keep the chukim, to keep God's commandments. That is our responsibility. Now, what does this mean? Why does the Torah begin in the Chukosai Tishmaru? If it means the entire rubric, why use the word Chukim, which normally means laws we don't understand? So on this, the Shem Shmuel responds, and he says, in the asterisks in Source 8, he says, if you really want to try to understand the dynamics of this world, we clearly need to go back to Adam HaRishon at that fatal moment of sin. When Adam HaRishon was originally created, he was created in a world of total balance. He was created in a world of total equilibrium between him and the natural world. And all he had to do was to listen to God's command. However, and this is the Ma'aral in Source 9 in the Sivas Olam, Eitzol Adam HaRishon Kodem Shechata Vayash Ima Kodesh Baruch Hu Lo Hayabo Tachbula Chochma Yitera. Adam HaRishon didn't have any cunning, didn't have any way of trying to outsmart God. The Nachash was the one who was Arum. He was the one who was sly and cunning and distant from God. And therefore, it was the Nachash who seduced man. And this has been, Ubechachmah Zot, Hisirat Adam Min Hashem Yiparach. And it was with this cunningness that the Nachash cut away that closeness, that sense of balance between man and God. And therefore, if you want to understand how do we get back to this level of Adam HaRishon before the sin, it's about getting back to that level of Tmimus, that level of perfection, that level of not trying to outsmart God. That element that the Nachash, that the snake, introduced into our world. As the Sfasemet says so beautifully, at the beginning of our parasha, let's learn together the end of 9. In the Chukosai Teilechu, B'tarat Kohanim, Shebedibroth Eilu, Yeyu, Kemo, Shaya, B'zvan, Adam HaRishon. This world that the Chukosai described is the idyllic world of Adam before he sinned. Vayinyanu, and to understand this, it's the following. Ki ha'idea Torah, it's through the Torah, tzrichim l'takein ha'chait, lotzi adamah mu'rarash and alzai idea chait. It's through listening to God, through keeping the Torah, that we have to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. And it's fascinating that when Adam sinned, not only was he affected, but the world around him was affected as well. The sin of Adam is, coats the dardar, there's going to be thorns and thistles. The land will not produce as it did before him. Adam HaRishon did not live in a vacuum. When he sins, it throws off the balance of the natural world. When we're trying to be metake, when we're trying to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon, it's about being able to create a world back, and the world being the natural world, back to a perfected place. Shebemet hakol talui b'adam sholam katan. The reality is that the entire world rests upon every individual who's a miniature world. Vayideshin darebo psola. V'meila gambo olam kolz v'dardar tatzmiya. Once we, Adam, brought in an element that was against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the world itself, the wheat, is going to bring in an element of waste, of things that are not part of the perfected world. And therefore, v'ikara tikun b'chukotai teilechu. Our job is to be b'chukotai teilechu, to walk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways like chukim. Chukim are the quintessential laws we don't understand, and we do them because God commanded us. Our job, essentially and ultimately, is to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the laws, like the mindset of chukim, without trying to outsmart, without trying to find leeways, without trying to figure out, well, I'm doing this because, and if I did that, then I don't have to do this. No. Just like the chok we don't understand and we do it because God commanded, likewise every mitzvah as well should be, this is what Hashem commanded and this is what I'm doing. Now we'll add here parenthetically, that doesn't take away, my friend, our intelligence, it doesn't take away our free will, it doesn't take away our individual aspect of self and investing ourselves in mitzvahs. When we accept with this purity of spirit God's will, then comes in the individualized aspect we spoke about a few weeks ago, of then each and every one of us in our unique individual ways will then shower on every mitzvah what makes it special and how we can present it as a special mitzvah to ourselves or to the world around us. Our job is in b'chukosai teilechu, to walk faithfully after Hashem. And this is why in Source 10, this is really the level that the Jewish people reached when they left Egypt. V'charti l'chesed nurayach, Hashem recalls the kindness of the Jewish people. Lechtech acharei b'midbar be'eretz lo zrua, a following after Hashem in a land that wasn't planted in the midbar without asking questions. This is as well reflected in the nasa v'nishma of Shavuos, of being able to say unequivocally, God, whatever you want, we will do. Nasa, we will do, and then nishma will understand. The ability to follow Hashem. And it's not any wonder that after this commitment of literally in the chukosai teilechu, following God in the desert, being able to follow God at Mount Har Sinai, of listening to God, that the moment of Mount Har Sinai, at the receiving of the Torah, we reverted back to Adam HaRishon before the sin, and there would be no death for the Jewish people. Death was taken away because we reached back to that tikkun, to that rectification of following Hashem on His terms and not on our terms. It was only at the Chet HaEkel when once again we introduced, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu is not here, let's create a medium of something we saw the Merkava. When we bring in our own mindset, we bring in death to the world, we bring in that lack of balance in the world. And this clearly answers the question in source number 12, of why we read this parasha Erev Shavuos. The whole aspect of Shavuos, we know, is the idea of Sheva Shabbatos Tamimos, the second paragraph in 12, to have 7 weeks of Tamimos. Tamimos is whole, but Tamimos is also about being able to have that purity of spirit of following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's 7 weeks of working on our midos, 7 weeks of working on our character traits, 7 weeks where the focus isn't I and my needs, but 7 weeks of thinking about the ultimate reality of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives and being able to follow after Hashem on His terms and not on our terms. That's what breaking the midos is about. Anger means I didn't get my way. Gaiva, taiva, all this about I. We have 7 weeks to work on shrinking the I to be able to stand at Mount Sinai like the Jews of old, and every year have the ability to try once again to go back into those footsteps and see If we can create a world of tmimus, a world of being able to, in a very natural state, follow God's wishes, because they're God's wishes, without asking questions of why, understanding obviously, but this is what God's commanded me, I will do it without second guessing, and in that way, hopefully, once again, bringing the world back to its perfected state. On this level, the connection with the Medrash is very clear. The Sfas points out, in Source 13, that David HaMelech's statement indicates nullification of one's own intellectual capacity and thought in the ultimate wisdom of the Almighty. This is achieved by first, Chishavti Drachai, I considered the ways, intimating initial use of one's own mind. And this is followed by the automatic gravitation of David HaMelech's footstep toward the study hall. No thought was involved in this action. He could instead follow Hashem's dictate, free of the need to follow his own reckoning. A two-stage process is here being presented to us. The first stage involves use of one's own mind, which will lead to the second stage, at which point one's own intellect is negated in the face of infinite wisdom. When we reach this level of being able to follow Hashem, it's going to be like David HaMelech instinctually being able to do whatever Hashem commands us. And that is the ultimate goal that we need to work through in our lives. With this, my friends, we can now appreciate what the idea, what we began with, is how this interfaces with the world around us. And the key is the pasuk by the asterisk in 14. The pasuk tells us in Yirmiyah, Im lo briti yomam v'layla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If it was not for my covenant of the study of Torah day and night, the chukot, the laws of nature, of heaven and earth, I would not have placed in this world. We find here that there is a parallel created, that there are chukim, that there are laws of nature, parallel to the laws of listening to God. And the two work hand in hand together. When we listen to God, then the world of nature around us responds in kind. And when we don't listen to God, the world of nature responds likewise in kind. And in fact, although not brought down here, the Sichos Bavadat Hashem speaks about that this is this idyllic imagery of the lion lying down with the lamb. When there will be no more hatred between people, when there will be no more lo yisah goy of goy charef, no nation will lift up a sword against another nation, that people will be able to live the Ein Machari without fear of a nuclear attack, without fear of gas masks, without fear of a car bomb in Times Square, without all of these fears around us. When we live in a time where we can able to get along with each other, so not only will people get along with each other, the lion and lamb as well will get along with each other. The reason the lion and lamb don't get along has nothing to do with the lion and lamb. It has to do with me and you, my friends. This is what the Torah Kedoshah is telling us. My friends, in the Chukosai Telechu, when we keep the Torah, it's not only that we're keeping the Torah and it affects our Dalet Amos, our four cubits. No, our keeping of the Torah has a ripple effect on the entire world. And the entire natural world is dependent on our keeping of these laws. And this, my friends, explains in 15 that the parsha begins of Rachel's Im Bechukosai Telechu with Aleph. And it ends with the word komimius, you'll be brought upright with a tough. The brachos begin with an aleph and end with a tough. The entire aleph base, the entire structure of the world from aleph to tough, is found here where we live in a perfect equilibrium, in a perfect balance. And this, my friends, is echoed so beautifully in a kapitel tehillim we say every morning of Sukkei Dezimra, where kapitel kufmem zayin says, David HaMelech speaks about the Bria, the creation, the end of 16a, top of 16b. He says, Monen Misfar LeKochavim, God gives numbers, he counts the stars. L'kulam shemot yikra gives names to all that. And it describes ha-mechaseh shamayim ba'avim, how God covers the heaven with clouds. Ha-mechim la'aretz matar, and he prepares rain for the world. Notein l'dei malach mai, prepares food for the animals, etc. And then this whole section which details how God takes care of every aspect of the natural world, it ends, Magid varav liyakov, chukav umishvatav liyisrael. Do you want to know what all of this natural world is dependent upon? It's dependent upon the chukav umishvatav liyisrael. It's dependent upon our doing, our will, in service of that. As the Sfathemus points out in 17, Ki Adam Nikra Olam Katan, we are called a miniature world. V'yeshbo Mikol Pirtei Abriyah, and we have within us all the details of creation. U'kefi Hitarurut Adam Bechol Koma Shleima Shelo Labodat Hashem Yitbarach Kach Ma'orer Kol Labruim. And to the extent that each and every one of us is such a profound concept, each and every one of us who's a miniature world, and the entire world is found within us, to the extent that we live an upright life of doing the will of God, to that extent, the world around us will also live, and the world within us that's affected by us will also live an upright life. There is, my friends, what does it mean that we have, that rain will be given in the right time, and there will be no wild animals? We say there is no reward in this world. The answer on level number one is it's not a reward. The Torah Kedosha is telling us the idyllic world is a world of consequences. And in such a world, when we keep to God's commandments, then the natural world around us will follow suit. And all aspects of nature are going to be able to be in sync with this world and be able to perform, and the sun will come out at the right time, and the rain will produce when it needs to, and the fruit of the land will produce when it needs to, and the animals of the land will help when they need to, and everything will be for the utilization of man, who is really the one in control in the ultimate sense of how everything around him is doing Ritzon Hashem. Just to share a story that I say to my students very often, a story that has nothing to do with anything, but everything to do with everything, which I usually don't do on a what we call an international feed, but it was such a bizarre story, and again, I'm not nowhere implying in the story that I'm someone who does God's will, but I thought it was a fascinating story anyway. So leaving me out of the story, let me just share the story with you very briefly. A week ago, last Sunday night, we have, as we've mentioned, this book of Machta downstairs. So a little girl called up and said she couldn't make the normal library hours. Could she come over? We said, sure. So Chanale went downstairs to open up the Gemach for her, and she left our door halfway open, which is not uncommon to do. You know, she runs in and out. You know, she just ran downstairs for a couple of minutes to open the door. She's coming back up. And we live on a first floor, which has a downstairs where the library is. It has another entrance where one family lives, and they have a dog that they're training to be a seeing eye dog. Now, they've had this dog for years. This dog has never entered our level. I've never seen it come in and out of our level. It always goes to the bottom level, to the parking lot area. So while we're eating dinner, Rachel and I, this dog suddenly appears in our apartment. First time ever, out of nowhere. Now we've had, as we've mentioned, as you see, the backdrop changes week after week. We're involved in Mirz Hashem building a study. We're at the end stages, so we're involved in a lot of movement, construction, boxes. And there was something riding, some food that someone left somewhere among these boxes that I just couldn't put my finger on. I'd walk past it, I couldn't find it. So here this dog is trotting through the apartment. Rachel's a little bit terrified. I don't particularly like dogs myself. So I decided I was going to leave her and go downstairs and get the owner to pull her up to get the dog. As I'm downstairs knocking on the owner's door and telling her dog is upstairs in case she was looking for her dog, sweet little big thing, not so little, As we come upstairs, those number of moments later, the dog already exited the apartment, and in its mouth was that bag of the rotten whatever it was. Drops it down and trots off. And I felt, well, that was such a shkocha pratis. That dog's never walked into our apartment. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Shira, you can't find this rotten thing. I'll help you out. There's a dog downstairs. It will come up. It will take what you need and go out without having to make a big deal about it. So, okay, perhaps a silly story. For me, it wasn't such a silly story. It was a great story. But the once we got over the dog, yeah. But the point of the story is that there's a world that's going to exist in a perfect balance if we exist in a balance. And that can happen all around us. We just have to be in balance ourselves. And that's what the Nesivah Shalom speaks about. In sources 18 and 19, he says, when we look at the world around us, and we have natural disasters that we have experienced, lo aleinu, most recently the earthquake in Haiti, the Icelandic volcano, these are not just, you know, acts of nature, so to speak. When something is totally off kilter in nature, like that volcanic ash that covered Europe for over a week, whose ramifications we're going to feel for a long while, our responsibility is to look inward. When there's something in nature that's not meeting its normal standards, volcanoes being quiet, and earthquakes, the ground being quiet, but when things start to erupt, and things start to rumble, that has to be a wake-up sign to the Jewish people that we, as individuals and as a community, are off-kilter. Where the work has to be is inward. And asking ourselves, where have we gone astray? You know, the world thinks that the Jews run the world. We know that we run the world. But we run the world not in terms of politics, not in terms of Nobel Prizes, not in terms of money. We run the world in terms of a spiritual responsibility. And that's an awesome responsibility. And that's what the Torah Kedosha is telling us right here. The way we behave is not going to only have an effect on us and on the people and our communities around us. It's going to have an effect on the natural world as well. And that's, we have to understand, is each and every one of us' responsibility in looking at this world. And see, Shalom takes this a little bit deeper. And he says, in reality, there are three parts of this natural world. There is the part in source number 20b. There's a part in 20a and 20b. There's a part of the Tzva Shemayim, HaShemesh Ve'Yareach. There is the world of the celestial beings, which is L'mala Min HaBriya, above the natural world. Then there's the Yam V'Chol HaYam. Then there's the sea and the sand of the sea that's on this earth. And then there's the Tehom. And then there's the world underneath this world, very much like the earthquake, which is rumbling beneath the ground. And these three areas parallel the three parts of us. As we said, we are a mini world. We have our moach, we have our mind, which is the top, which is our intellectual aspect of relating to this world. We have our heart, which is the middle, which is the yam, which is the sea, which is our rotzon, our desire. And then we have our lower part, which are our evarim, our limbs, our hands, our feet. And they are the taiva, our desires. And he says, in the asterisk in 20b, in each and every area of life, we have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us how to think as a Jew, how to feel as a Jew, and how to act as a Jew. And that's what it means. It's not restricted just to doing mitzvot and to follow God in His mitzvot. It means that we should be a Torah Jew in the totality of who we are. And just like the natural world encompasses all segments, the celestial, the ground beneath the ground, our relationship to God also has to be all-encompassing in all areas of our lives. 21, Shekol Chokei Adam Hamoach, Halei, Bechol, Ever, Naivarim, our mind, our heart, every limb in our body. Everyone has to be rotzeh mit'aveh l'inyonim ha'shayichim l'cha, has to be able to raise in each domain their desires, their focus to do Hashem's will. And this is really the deeper level of what does it mean in the Chukosai Teilechu, says in Siva Shalom in Source 22, it means in every area of our lives we have to ask ourselves, what is it that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from me at this moment? I need to be able not to compartmentalize my life in just doing mitzvot, doing the will of God. But if I understand that the entire world is predicated on my behavior, then my behavior has to be something that's going to be, in its totality, dedicated and devoted to do the will of God, to think along the ways God wants me to think, and always ask myself, how can I bring nachat ruach? How can I bring pleasure to Hashem? And with this in mind, we can appreciate the deeper understanding of the Medrash. Rabbi Roberts with the Prism of Torah, 24. There are many misguided people who think that the study of Torah and devotion to prayer pertain to the world of the spirit. It is only the soul that benefits and is elevated by learning and tefillah. Our material and physical welfare, however, belong to another domain, where intelligence, sound judgment, and industry are the key factors. The Torah attitude does not acknowledge this dichotomy. In order to conduct all our worldly affairs correctly and successfully, we need Torah knowledge to imbue us with wisdom and perception, and we require prayer to invoke divine assistance and grace. Even the most mundane problem has a Torah perspective and should always be viewed through that prism. This is the thrust of the sayings of Halichos Olam Lo Al Tikri Halichos Ela Halachot. The ways of the world are His, do not read ways but laws. That means that in life there are no such things as ways and behavior which are divorced from a Torah angle. Everything is intertwined with Allah and its guidelines, which must serve as the basis in our daily conduct. And this is what it means that David HaMelech would wake up at midnight and learn Torah till the morning. And at the crack of dawn, the Talmud tells us, the communal leaders would come to consult with him and ask his advice on the current economic situation. The Torah encompasses every field of life and can offer counsel on every aspect. This is what it means. Whenever David HaMelech decided to visit people in state business, of course he kept those appointments. But in order to imbue himself in advance with authentic Torah to make the right decisions, he first went to the house of learning of study of Torah and as well to the house of prayer to petition for divine grace. It's only armed with this that he was ready to continue being able to be the state leader. This is what the Torah is telling us ultimately in the Chukosai Teilechu. If you walk in God's ways, it means that the totality of our spirit, the totality of our being has to be living in this world. Yes, we can have pleasure in this world. Yes, we can enjoy this world. But we can enjoy it in the framework, in the rubric of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy it, in a way that's pleasing to God as well. And this is the imagery that the Sefer Eilat Dvarim 28 describes. He says, what does it mean that God's presence will dwell within us and God will not loathe us? He says it's like a person who rents a house. So anytime you rent a house, you have to ask permission from the owner if you want to make any constructional changes in the house, if you want to do anything radical. He says, we are renting God's house. To do anything that the landlord doesn't want us to do, we need special permission. Otherwise, we have to live by the landlord's request and do what he wants us to do. That has to be our mindset. We are not the owners of this world. And when we think we're the owners of this world, we have this dichotomy that the Daf Torah of Yerucham speaks about in 29 and 30, where the soul and body cannot live together because they're each looking for their own way to gratify themselves and satisfy themselves. When we recognize that God is the owner and that we are the inhabitants, we are the renters, we are the leasers in this world, So then our bodies, our physical worlds can live comfortably within the spiritual because we know how to live hand in hand. It's like the pot that we're able to absorb. The body can absorb the spirituality because it's understanding its role in life. It understands who is the boss and what is the ultimate focus in life. That's the goal. It's the goal of Adam HaRishon before the sin, where the body and soul could live in a tandem, where we recognize that our essence in this world is to be able to live in the world that God has given us. And this is what Rabbi Franz speaks about in his Sefer, it's never too little, it's never too late, it's never enough. He says, when we're talking about the idea of simcha, of joy, in Netzach Yisrael, the Maharal writes that happiness belongs to the soul, not to the body. That is why animals cannot feel happiness. They're capable of feeling other emotions such as fear or bonding with their offspring. If anyone saw the pictures from the National Geographic, like the top, whatever, 10 pictures of last year, saw gorgeous pictures of animals bonding with each other. Yes, they have that capability. And these pictures are Marabu Masech Hashem, but they cannot be truly happy because they don't have souls. Therefore, contrary to popular belief, if an attempt at achieving happiness is to succeed, it must have something to do with your neshama. A person can spend his entire life chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow in the hope it'll provide him with happiness, and it'll come up short because he's searching for pleasures that stimulate the body, not the soul. It's so fascinating, 36, that the Ramah begins the Orach Chaim by saying, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, you should place God in front of you at all time. And his last comment is the comment by Purim, the Tov Lev Mishne Tamid. A good-hearted person perpetually celebrates, again, the word tamid. You want to know how to have a good heart and to always be happy? It's the beginning of the book and the end of the book coming together. It's called Torah. It's called finding a spiritual outlet. And this is a tremendous frustration that we have in our world, where we feel that if we pursue earthly pleasures, we pursue what we want, even if it's going to be at the expense of our spiritual aspects, we will find happiness. And then we come up short, and we come up empty, and we want more and more and more and more, and we don't feel whole, we don't feel this equilibrium in life. It's only through the appreciation, as he notes here, at the end of 37, is the pursuit of happiness a Jewish value? He says the pursuit of shlemus, of wholeness, is a Jewish value. And that's the first message of our parsha. The parsha is about creating an equilibrium and a balance in this world. When we are imbalanced, when our physical being recognizes that we are here for a spiritual purpose, and we work body and soul together in order to the best of our ability to think, to feel, and to act in the appropriate way, and to always work on myself, that I can become more and more shalom, whole in this way, and to follow God's commands and dictate, because I understand He is the boss, and He knows better than me. When I'm able to create that equilibrium within myself, I, woman, Olam Katan, a miniature world, will then create this equilibrium in the world around me, and dogs will enter into my apartment and take out anything that's rotting, and the lion and the lamb will lie together, and the rain will come in its right time, and the world will be this perfect world of equilibrium and balance. If that's the first level, with the very short time we have remaining, let's take a look at a second approach. And this is the approach that Rav Tam notes, a very famous approach in 39 of the Rambam Maimonides. He explains that the blessings that the Torah speaks of for those who observe mitzvot are not in essence rewards. They are the means of heavenly assistance that will help a person do mitzvot. The Rambam writes, Hashem promised us in the Torah that if we fulfill the Torah with joy, He'll remove all the obstacles that prevent us from observing the Torah, such as disease, war, famine, and the like. He will bestow upon us all the benefits that help us to perform the dictates of the Torah, such as peace and prosperity. so that we will not have to spend a long time taking care of our physical needs. Rather, we'll be free to study wisdom from the mitzvos, so we will all merit the life of the world to come. Continuing the arrow, the blessings of Parsha Bechukosai describe the heavenly assistance given to help us serve Hashem. They are like the tools given to an artisan so that he can do his work properly. And this is what the Rambam speaks about while we yearn for the coming of the Mashiach, because all the stumbling blocks of the Yetzer Hara will be taken away and will be able to do the will of God. How do we understand the rewarding reward of our Parsha? It's not the reward in the way we understand. It's a reward in terms of the mechanism to allow us to get the ultimate reward in the next world. That's a rewarding reward. This ability to have food in the right time, that we have food on the table, that we have parnassa, that we have sustenance, that we have health, that we have all these basic necessities in life. If I'm not worrying about health, and I'm not worrying about where the food will come from, and I'm not worrying about wild animals, and I'm not worrying about war, so then I can study uninterrupted and live a life of chesed and Torah uninterrupted, so that I'll be able to gain ultimately in the future world. Obviously, parenthetically, that doesn't mean if we do have obstacles that we can't get reward. It's obviously we do get reward, but we would like, and this is what we hope for, to have the most ability, the most help we can, to be able to strive and have the tools to be the best out there Hashem we can. With this in mind, that this is the ability to help us serve Hashem, we can appreciate this medrash that we began with, where David HaMelech says, wherever I go, I find myself going to the study halls of Torah and Tefillah. And a very beautiful essay that we don't have time to really go through, 41 through 51, so we'll just do the major ideas outside and some ideas inside. There's a medrash which speaks about the final verse in Tehillah. This is Shvili Pinchas or Pinchas Friedman, based on the Belzer Rebbe. The medrash speaks about, on the pasuk Kol Neshama Talalka, that the entire soul sings praises to God. And the medrash says that every moment that we breathe, you know, we have that inhale, exhale, that tick-tock of the heartbeat. That's Al Pi Derech HaTeva. What's really going on at every moment, the Medrash said, is a rise and fall of our neshama. Our neshama, which comes from above, wants to return back to its source. It wants to fly heavenward. But then it comes back down and sees that God is indeed part of us as well and stays back down. Then wants to once again go back to the source and once again back down. And this is the ebb and flow that the neshama goes through all our lives. And that's why the bracha in 42 of the Lo Tigal Nafshi Etchem, Lo Tigal HaNefesh L'Sha'er Baguf B'Shtokaket L'Tzeit. The ultimate vision, and this is what the Sforno speaks about in our final source of today, is where Hashem will not have a Beis HaMikdash. The Sforno says the ultimate goal is that Hashem will reside in each and every one of us like prophets. And therefore, the soul will never want to leave the body. V'lo tagil nafshi, my soul will never want to leave you. The ultimate goal is that the neshama won't want to try to escape, because it will feel that we indeed are living aspects of ruchaniyut, of spirituality, and all the soul will want to do is remain down here with us. This back and forth explains so clearly the chayt of Adam HaRishon as well, that when Adam HaRishon was created, God's presence rested on him. The result of putting the body before the soul was the result in death, where the soul said, I can't live here my whole life. I can't stand in a body which is taking precedence over the soul. The natural consequence of disobeying God was that God removes himself to some extent from Adam, at which point the soul says, I can't stay here for eternity because the balance of priorities is off. This is the imagery in 48 of the ladder of Yaakov Avinu, who sing angels, and we indeed are called angels, based on the beginning of this parsha, of the angels who do God's will by Shemitah. The angels who are ascending and descending the ladder. They're ascending because they want to go back up. But they come down because Hashem Nitzavala, they feel Hashem's presence on us. What is our job, my friend? It's this fascinating recognition that our soul is in pain, that our spiritual aspect is looking at our body and saying, can I rest here? Is this a home for me? And our response has to be, yes, I will make this a home for you. I will make this a place that you can reside here spiritually. This is the declaration that we need to make Erev Shavuos, that Torah is going to be the mainstay of our home, of our inner home, of our spiritual home, of our physical home. And therefore the soul will feel comfortable staying within us. And this is what the Noam Elimelech from Elimelech Meluzinsk in 51 explains. When it says, the Natati Gishmechem Beitam, and I will give the rain in its right time, that Hashem promises that those who make Torah and Avodas Hashem their priorities, that Hashem will make sure that all their physical needs will be taken care of. Geshem, from not only rain, but Gashmir, physical needs, Beitam, in the right time. Which means, Haber B'zeh, when David HaMelech went back to our mentors, said, I have to go to so many places, I have this meeting, I have that meeting, and he was afraid, I'm not going to be able to do this, my soul's going to leave my body, how long am I going to live? And then he said, no, if my priority is Torah and mitzvot, if my priority is to have a hashras hashlina, if my priority is to have God's presence resting within me, then I don't have to worry, will I be able to finish everything in this world? Because v'natati kishvechem b'itam, I know God will allow me to be able to accomplish all I need to accomplish. Because when I am doing Hashem's will, then He will facilitate that I will be able to accomplish all that I need to accomplish in this world. It's what the Rambam's speaking about that we just mentioned, that when we do the will of God, God says, I'll take care of your needs. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. I wanted to go to all these different places and make them my priority. And then I realized, no, the way to be able to get things accomplished in this world is to make God your priority, to make Torah and Mitzvot your priority. When you make that your priority, then Hashem will help you and enable you to be successful in all other endeavors in life. This is where the major investment has to be. And then the dividends will be tremendous. That's what this week's parasha is talking about. If you walk in Hashem's presence, if you make Hashem a reality in your life, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you, obviously every person. It's a continuum, it's not black and white. Hashem will help you be able to accomplish this. The neshama will feel, called neshima v'neshima, that yes, it can rest its body in you. It doesn't need to always escape. And in so doing, you will live a life being able to accomplish and to do and having the wherewithal to do this. What is our job? It's to recognize that it's a partnership. To recognize, as Rav Moshe says in Source 56, that even if you walk b'darchei Hashem and amal and Torah and ma'asim tovim and you work on doing good deeds, tzarich lidog, you have to make sure that you never shemadayin lo kiyem et hamutal alav, that you never finish doing what you were supposed to do. And he quotes here a beautiful word. He says that originally the Avos HaKadoshim built a matzeva, one stone. And then after the Torah was given, that was forbidden, and now we have to only build a mizbeah, which is made of many stones. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, after Matan Torah was given, one stone isn't enough. You need many stones. You need to constantly work on yourself. You can never say you've reached there, you've done that. You always have to ask yourself, how can I make my personal life, my family life, my community life, a place where Hashem wants to reside? And that's the challenge in these psukim. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity of having health, wealth, all that you need, and I will rest among you. But we need to be a recipient, to be able to receive these blessings. And how are we a recipient? By making sure we have this God consciousness in our life. By making sure that we have the focus of knowing what our priorities are in life. And again, that doesn't mean to exclude pleasures. There are many pleasures. In fact, we're held accountable, the Rishami says, if we don't enjoy the pleasures of this world. But are we doing it for ourselves? Or are we doing it to elevate and to beautify God's world? Are we doing it with a sense of halicha, of walking in the ways of Hashem, that wherever we turn, we see the beauty of Hashem's world. We see how we can grow as a spiritual person. That's the question. I'd like to end with a story, which is a story that I've mentioned in the past. It's one of my favorite stories from Rabbi Spiro Sefer, Touched by Story, Volume 1, where he speaks about an individual whose name is Reb Shlomi from West Hempstead, who was an elderly individual who had this very strange custom of walking around all day saying, "Ay, ay, ay." And he was like, you know, grunt this to himself. In other ways, he's really normal. So when his youngest son got engaged, he was a little bit nervous, this boy, to invite the Kalos family into a l'chaim. And he could imagine that, you know, the chutanim are going to hear, "Ay, ay, ay," and they're going to say, "Oh boy, they don't like the kala." So the son sat down with his father and said, you know, maybe just for the time of l'chaim, you can cut out this little custom of yours. So the father said, let me explain to you why I say this. And he told the story of how when he was 13 years old, in two horrible days, he was taken away from his whole family. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came and split up the family and put him in cattle cars, and he was left all alone, bereft of his entire family in a despondent state. And he was in a work camp where a number of days later he met two chaverim, two of his good friends from home. And they came upon a plan to mechazek themselves, to strengthen themselves, that whenever they would work and the work would bring them together, they would chazer some gemara. And it was going fine until one of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, saw them murmuring to themselves, and he beat them up mercilessly. So he decided a new plan, that any time they would have eye contact with each other, they would say Kapitel Tehillim. And again, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, saw that they were mumbling to each other, and they beat him up mercilessly. So finally, the oldest boy came up with a third plan. And he says, every time we make eye contact with each other, let's say, "Ay, ay, ay," where the Nazis will think we're groaning, that the "ay, ay, ay" are the six mitzvahs timiyos. Aleph is Abba Hashem, love of Hashem. Yod is Yiras Hashem, fear of God. Then you have Yod is Yichud Hashem, God's oneness. Aleph is Abba Yisrael. Yod is Ikad Yishmo Barabi, public sanctification, God's name. And Yod is Yesha Lukami Ma'al, the cognizance of Hashem above. And he said to his son, he says, you think I'm saying "ay, ay, ay" as if I'm moaning and something's wrong. Those "ay, ay, ay"s are what kept me going during that terrible period. And it's kept my chaverim going, because we recognize at all times that Hashem was with us. And we were able to mechazek ourselves, able to strengthen ourselves, that we had a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we had a God in our lives. And no matter what, we feel connected. We feel we have this relationship. And when the son heard this, he obviously understood that these "ay, ay, ay"s wasn't a complaint, but was his ability of his father, even many years later, to feel this connection, to feel this oneness with Hashem. My friends, this is what we need to create in our own lives, our own "ay, ay, ay"s, our own ability to recognize what is our focus. The summer is coming up, vacation is on our mind, we're thinking of places to go and things to do. What is our "ay, ay, ay"s? What is our ability to make sure that we don't veer off from the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. It doesn't mean that summertime means we let loose. It means that we have focus, we have directions for us, for our families, that we understand what our priorities are. This time of year, like Ba'omer, is the time of when we feel the Kadosh Baruch Hu's closeness to us. Like Va'omer is the time where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught that deep secret of how much Hashem loves us, of how much we love Hashem. This is the time to take the strength of like Va'omer. It's a time to suffer for tefillah, for prayer, to strengthen our relationship with Hashem. So that all this time that we're entering into, chasnas, weddings, that they should all begin with that foundation of recognizing that reality of making God our focus of our lives. Graduation and commencements is not an end, it's a beginning. What are our goals? Where are we headed toward? These need to be our focus at this time of year. And that's what Parsha B'Chukosai teaches us. Eating the Chukosai Teilechu, if you walk in my ways, if you think and work as a Torah Jew, and not try to make a dichotomy in life of in this area I'm Jewish, in this area I'm whoever I want to be, but recognize Torah is the totality of our lives, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu promises us tremendous blessing. One, the world itself will respond in tandem, and two, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will enable you to live a life that you'll be able to dedicate yourself toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the bracha I leave all of us with, that we should be able to have our upper mind, our middle heart, and our evarim, and our desires of our limbs to want to do the Ritzon Hashem, and that Hashem should respond in kind. Atayel itcha, I will be able to walk with you. My presence will be on you. Kol ha-neshamat eloka. The neshama is not going to try to jump out. It's going to stay within us because it will feel Hashem's presence dwelling within us as we so desperately want and desire for Hashem to be with us at all times. Aye, aye, aye.